Our dear Heavenly Father, we worship you. We're so grateful for your beautiful presence in this place. Lord, we know that it is not because we are worthy, it's not because we know how to pray, it is because of your mercy under the covering of our fathers. So Father, we lift up our eyes to you, Lord, that you have mercy, fresh mercy upon me, unction upon my heart and upon my lips, so your word will flow out of me like a stream of living water, Lord, bringing encouragement and refreshing, Lord, bringing revelation and insight, helping us, Lord, to have strength in our feet and our ankle bones, enabling us to be doers of the word and not hearers only, mounting up on eagle's wings over every opposition in the name of Jesus. As your word goes forth on the covering, let it be backed with your power. Let yokes be broken. Let every cloud of weariness and discouragement be dispelled. And let hope arise afresh in our hearts. Lord, helping us to run and not to be weary, and to walk and not to faint in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask for mercy, and help me to be concise and to be precise, not saying unnecessary things, but as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom, bringing forth out of the treasure of this your word things new and old, Lord, to the praise of your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. I want to give honor to my fathers, pastor, and mommy. I thank God for their discipline and for their encouragement and for their example and for their love and for their prayers. And that's the reason why we are all where we are today. Amen. And we just give God all the glory. Let's just give God a wave offering for our fathers. We really appreciate the kind of fathers that we have. Thank you so much, Pastor. Thank you so much, Mommy. I pray that this word will bring you joy and refreshing. It will be a blessing to the hearts of my brethren. Encouragement to all the body in Jesus' name. Amen. As we go straight into the word of God. And this evening, this day has been a great day. Amen. A glorious day. Amen. And the word that God has dropped my heart is peace like a river. Peace like a river. Amen. Look at Isaiah 66. As we turn our Bibles in verse 10. Peace like a river. Let's say together, peace like a river. It's going to flow afresh. It's already flowing, but it's going to flow afresh. And we'll drink from that river and be satisfied in Jesus' name. And don't just take a sip. Take a bucket full, amen, of the river. No, don't take. God doesn't limit you. You can take as much as you want in this river. Amen. Peace like a river. Ah, my brethren upstairs. Ah, Lord have mercy. Thank you. Amen. All right, brethren. Let's read it together. Rejoice ye with Jerusalem and be glad with her. All ye that love her, rejoice for joy with her. All ye that mourn for her. God is talking to those of us know that the Bible says, for Jerusalem's sake, I will not hold my peace. I will not rest. You are praying for the will of God to be done. His kingdom to come on earth and his will to be done as it's done in heaven. God is saying, rejoice. He's saying it's a time for joy. Hallelujah. He's saying that all ye that mourn, you're fasting and you're sighing and you're crying for looking for that character of God to be made manifest in our soul and in our mortal flesh. Bible is saying rejoice. Amen. It's an instruction. It's not a suggestion. I mean, you must do it. Next verse. That ye may suck. Let's say that you may suck and be satisfied with the breast of her consolations. Hallelujah. And that you may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory. Hallelujah. There's abundant glory down the road. Amen. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. That means that it's not going to stop. It keeps going. The peace will keep going from peace to peace. Hallelujah. You're going from joy to joy. You're going from righteousness to righteousness. And you're going from glory to glory. It's flowing like a stream. Is flowing like a river, and the source is God, and it shall be born upon her sides and be dandied upon her knees. And immediately the picture that came to my heart is a picture of a baby. You know, when the baby is crying, I don't know what is the problem. What's the problem? You put that baby to the breast. And when the baby sucks the breast, what happens? All the noise stops. And the baby sucks. It's a sucking of consolation. It's sucking milk out of that breast. And that milk is the consolation that the baby was looking for. And after that same baby that was irritable and was crying, you would dandy and be playing with the baby on your knees. Hallelujah. What happened? There was a transformation from an irritable baby to a satisfied baby. And the key was the breast. Amen. Amen. So, what is God saying? God is saying that the Bible talks about the blessings of the breast, the blessings of the womb. So the Bible is talking to us that the breast is a type of God fulfilling his promises that he has made to us in our lives. Hallelujah. And when those promises are fulfilled, you'll be settled. That you may be established, strengthened, and settled. Amen. So that's what God is saying. God is saying that as we live a life of self-denial, in fasting and in prayer, in obedience to God for his word to be done, no, you're not serving a hard taskmaster. You are serving a generous God. You are serving a loving God. You are serving a faithful God. And the Bible says, while you are serving, there is milk flowing for you to suck. Hallelujah. That's what he says there. There is a river of peace flowing. So no matter what storm there is, you can say, peace be still. Amen. You can still every storm, both in your nation and in your life, in your family, your circumstances, in the name of Jesus. And you can have joy flowing so that the glory will say that as you are serving with joy. As you are serving with peace. You are not serving so that the peace can come. The peace is walking alongside as you are serving. Hallelujah. That's what God is saying. So the Bible says, look for the river. It's there. Look for the breast. It's there. And suck. So you can have consolation. Hallelujah. And the consolation, is the consolation of the fulfillment of the promise. And if you look on the inside, you will see the promise being fulfilled. You will see that every day there's more of Christ. More of God in your will. More of God in your mind. More of God in your emotions. So it's a message of encouragement, that no matter what's going on around you, don't let anything steal your peace. Don't let any situation, any person steal your joy. They don't have that power except we give them. Don't let anybody take away your righteousness. Don't let that cloud of weariness settle. Fight it. Don't accept it. Don't accept it. This situation does not have to happen. You must have a fighting spirit. Apostle Paul was in a terrible situation. An angel appeared unto him and said, come over. Come over. Not well, an angel. He saw a vision. And there was a man saying, come over to Macedonia. And they went to the Macedonia. And they got to the Macedonia. And they prayed and they met a disciple there. And they were ministering and everything was going on well. And all of a sudden, one day God said, there's a spirit here that you need to cast out. And they cast out that spirit. And that was the beginning of apparent trouble. And because they cast out that spirit out of that girl, spirit of divination, which really was a hypocritical spirit. It was saying, these are the men, but it's not bringing people to listen to that message. It's actually it's an antichrist. It's coming in the name, but it's working against the purpose. The words are the right words, but the spirit is wrong. And the apostle discerned it and cast out that spirit, because the spirit of Ishmael will not inherit with the spirit of Isaac. And when he did that, because of gain, unreasonable and wicked men. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians, okay? And they raised up insurrection and all that. They beat them, they stripped them, beat them naked. Has anybody done that to you? What are we going through that it's as if you got less than what you bargained for? Or it's only you that is going through what you are going through? Or it's one thing after another, one challenge after another. One has not finished. Before you get your breath, there's another one. Well, God has a word for you today. Hallelujah. It's peace like a river. The peace will drown out. And to the glory of God, that river was flowing. And Apostle Paul drank. Silas drank. And at midnight, the darkest hour, they had the strength to pray. And they sang praises. It was overflowing. The praise is the overflowing of the river. They were satisfied to the point where it was now overflowing. And the Bible says that there was a great earthquake. And it came not just to them. Everyone's bands in the prisons were loosed. From allowing you to be in a difficult situation, God can bring deliverance to so many. Hallelujah. So we must understand with God what God is trying to do and cooperate with God, not looking at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. Amen? Okay. All right. So if we look at Isaiah 62, verse 1 to 2 in the NIV, very, very quickly. For such saith the Lord, I will. 62 NIV, quickly. I've already said, I just want to bring out a particular word, the NIV. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet till our righteousness shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. Next. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory shall be called by a new name. There's a translation that talks about vindication. Like the Bible says, the Malachi chapter 3, you know, in that day, I will spare them as a man spares his own son. So God is coming at the same time. See, when Zion is arising, God will vindicate. He will discern between them that serve God and them that serve him not. That's what God is saying. Okay? All right? Look. Yes. It's NIV. So what happened? What did you do? Two types of NIV. Oh, Lord have mercy. I'm learning that today. All right. So the nations will see your what? Vindication. And all kings, your glory, you shall be called by a new name. That is when the real you will appear. This you is a preparatory you. There's a manifested you. Hallelujah. There's a manifested us. There's a manifested me. Okay? That's what God is saying. Okay? All right? And that's the will of God. Now, of course, look at Romans 14, 17. We know what the kingdom of God is. Romans 14, 17, King James. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So grateful. Thank you for covering. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and what? Joy. Where? In the Holy Ghost. That's what the Bible says of the Holy Ghost in John 7:37. You say, doing that, believe it. Let's look at it. John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Hallelujah. For he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. So that river there is the power of the Holy Spirit. That power of the Holy Spirit is flowing like a river to produce righteousness, peace, and joy. And it is the will of God for us that we should open our mouth wide in faith so God can fill it. Hallelujah. Psalm 81, verse 10. Very quickly. Amen. Psalm 81, quickly. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt when you got born again. Open your mouth wide. It's an instruction. Open, sock. It's the same thing he's saying. Open your mouth wide, and I will what? Feel it. Is it you that will feel it? No. What's your job? Open. Hallelujah. Open, brethren. Just open. Open. Open and sock. Open and pray. Open and do what he said to do, and he will feel it. Amen. All right. Let's jump from verse 10, because that's not our portion in Jesus' name. Let's jump to verse 14 as our portion. I should soon have subdued. When you open your mouth, what will God do? He will subdue your enemies. He will turn his hand against our adversaries. Amen. Next verse. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves. We will submit because we are lovers of the Lord. And their time should have endured forever. Next verse. Why? He should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat. Talking about fine gold, fruit of the Spirit. Wheat, okay? And with honey out of the rock, should I have satisfied thee? Talking about revelation knowledge. So as we open our mouth, God will nourish us and satisfy us, you know, with the finest of wheat, the finest of on. Talk about revelation knowledge that will produce fruits in our lives. Amen. He's talking about peace. That same, it's a discourse. That same peace, that same, say, rejoice. That same joy, peace, joy, and fruits. He will satisfy us with it, and we will be satisfied in Jesus' name. So, brethren, it's time to fight. Don't allow the pressures of the times, and there are pressures, brethren, on ourselves, on our children, on our children's children, at work, in the nation, different circumstances. Don't allow those pressures to crowd God out. Amen. That's what God is saying. He's saying there is peace like a river. Don't look at what you're seeing. Look at the things that are unseen. And let the word of God, that's why it says, no, with milk. The word of God that you hear is the one that is going to bring the consolation. It's one that's going to bring the direction. The light is not coming from the world. Light is coming from the word inside you, working by the Holy Spirit. So every word you hear is bringing new light. So don't just wait and hear what you hear in church. When you get back home, go over it again. There's more light. There's more milk. And squeeze it for every ounce that you can get. I was in some tremendous opportunity. I'm taking the breast. They'll be squeezing it as if they know exactly what they're doing. They put them over there and then when they're ready, then they leave it and then they're done. You know, so it's important. That's what God is saying, okay? The pressures of tribulation and affliction that is coming against the church to weary and discourage us. No betrayal by friends and loved ones. You know, what's going on in the nation, what's going on in the world. When the iniquity, and you see that some people are getting away with some things, you know. And you're wondering, what's going to happen? God is saying, no. I have prepared peace for you like a river, and your vindication will be made manifest, and your glory will be a flowing stream. It will keep flowing and flowing, and people will see and say, wow, I wish, Baba said, no, then men will come to the brightness of our rising. They will have to come when they see the glory, when they see the peace that you enjoy, when they see the joy, the righteousness, when you see the way we live our lives, then they understand, you guys are different people from a different planet. Yes, we are. Hallelujah. That's the will of God for us. Amen. So why is this important? Because it's a word of encouragement. Jerusalem is the city of peace. And if we are living in Jerusalem, Satan is trying to steal, to kill, and to destroy the very name that God has named us by. So we are in the city of peace, but it makes us want us to have anxiety. We are in the city of peace where there should be joy, but it wants to make sure that we are sad and we are discouraged. And so, brethren, no, it's important that as he wants to steal our peace, our joy, our right standing, our right doing, he wants to steal everything. We must understand the things that are important and hold fast to them. You know, because when that's if everything is crumbling, there's a tendency to, you know, we're human. Hallelujah. There's a tendency to want to throw everything away, just and give up and throw it all up. That human side. Now that human side we must kill it. We must kill that human side so that we are divine. So that in every situation, you know, because brethren, if we're doing what we're doing, we have defensive weapons that take the brunt, the hope of his salvation, the shield of faith, isn't it? Our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. The loins girt with the girdle of truth. Hallelujah. Amen. And then, you know, we can, and then of course, the breastplate of righteousness. Besides our right standing. So that those weapons must be intact. That armor must be in place by the power and the light that comes from the Holy Spirit. So no matter what he's bringing, you can stand the shock. And then when you stand, then you now need to do all. You now bring out the offensive ones. The word and praying in the spirit with all kinds of prayer. and you turn it around. Bible says, when no, having done all to stand, stand therefore. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so does the Lord surround us, brethren. The Lord has surrounded us. So it doesn't mean that stuff is not coming, but you know, whatever comes, God is there to take the brunt of it. So you can see defense. Yeah, you can see where Satan was going, but he has failed. And then you quickly turn it around so that you can totally know, you can limit the damage. First of all, limit every collateral damage, and then you can terminate the tribulation. You can obliterate it and overcome it like that with weapons in place. So that's what God is saying. God is saying that, you know, natural disasters, harsh economic environment, violent events, you know, the cares of this world which are necessary, you know, our infirmities which Satan tries to exploit, whatever it is he's trying to do, God is more than enough. That is what he's saying. God is more than enough. So we must not allow ourselves to be overwhelmed. And if you're overwhelmed, brethren, just say that simple prayer. Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Hallelujah. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And he will show you honey out of the rock. The honey will come out of the rock. And he will take you to a place higher. And then you'll be looking at Satan from above. Ha, ha, ha. You will turn the tables on him. Glory be to God. And then you will now know how to pray. And then you will speak the word. And he has no choice but to go. To come back another season. And any season he comes, you are ready. Because this is our season. It's a perpetual season. Our season has come to stay. It's not going and coming. It's a permanent season. Hallelujah. So this is what God is saying. Okay, look at Romans chapter 8. You know, let's read it from Let's read from 36. Romans 8, 36. No, 37. Thank you. Let's read together, brethren. I want to hear you read it. Say nay. I can't hear you. Say nay. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that what? Loved us. Next verse. For I am persuaded. Now, this is what God is trying to do. To get you and I persuaded. So that, you know, we are in a fixed state where our mind is settled that we are on the winning side. Amen. So it doesn't matter what the circumstances, you are persuaded. As well as Apostle Paul was persuaded. She was so much persuaded that when they said that he should not go to Jerusalem, he said, oh, what meaneth he? The God that I have is bigger. I am going there because that's where my prophetic destiny is for me to fulfill. We must be persuaded in Jerusalem, the place of peace. Hallelujah. All right? That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Whatever he is planning that has not come, that is saying, you see what I will do. He can't do anything. Tell him, use the scripture. Nor things to come, or be. Nor things to come. It's covered. Nothing you can do. Except God is not God anymore. Except he has somehow become less omnipotent. Or he's less omniscient. Nay, brethren, in all these things we are more than conquerors. That's what he's saying. All right? Nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Next verse. Nor height, nor depth. Nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. Give God a super hand. Amen. God is not an irresponsible Father. He's made abundant provision. He's made a hiding place. The hiding place is the love of God. That name of Lord that is a strong tower. And that's what he's saying. That in that place, nothing can separate you. Now, you must make sure that nothing separates you so that you don't separate yourself from God. That's the key now. Nothing from outside can separate. It's only something from inside, you and I, of our own free will. But we won't let that happen in Jesus' name. Amen. That's why we're learning what we're learning. So, when he does come, what then do we do? Look at Philippians chapter 4. Please give it to me in the Amplified. Verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4. Let's read it together. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything. Just put everything together. No. By prayer and petition, definite request, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. Stop. God is saying, we'll get to 7 in a moment. God is saying, the fact that something comes doesn't mean you did something wrong for it to come. These things come. So he's saying that don't fret, don't be anxious, always be focused on the solution. There will be challenges, but who sinned? We'll get to that later. The first thing is, let's get this thing out. That's the first. Let's get it out. Next verse. Thank you. Verse 7. And God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of a soul assured of his salvation, deliverance, protection, health, provision, perfection, glory. That's salvation. Through Jesus Christ. And so fearing nothing from God, and being content with his earthly lot of whatever sort it is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall what? Garrison. It will bring soldiers and mount guard over your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the peace. That peace. No, you can keep taking the peace irrespective of the circumstance. You are fearing nothing. Even when it looks as if it's negative, because the God who is for us, who is with us, is more than enough. We know that there is a way of escape. So we are just looking for wisdom, like mommy always prays, wisdom for the way of escape. Amen. And then the wheat, strength and ability to walk through the way of escape. So we keep going. So when you go through the valley of Baca, it will become a well. No, when you go through what should be negative, you will come out on the positive side. Why? Because of a God that is more than enough. And all the while, that peace will keep our hearts. It will mount guard over your hearts. No, that, and you won't understand why you have peace. You will just have peace. And there's a part of it that is telling you, but you need to be worried. And there's that. Another part you'll be saying, I don't understand what you are doing. Well, you're not taking this very seriously. It's the peace. It's the peace. It's the calmness in the midst of the storm. And you have to relax. And then the God that gave you the peace. Next verse. No, look at what the Bible says. You know, because after the peace, now comes your mind. Whatever things are true, that's the beginning of way of escape. You know why? Because as you begin to think, you begin to pray. You are praying with your thoughts. So whatever things are true, and whatever it is true, whatever is worthy of reverence, and is honorable and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, because you have peace, you can choose what to think. When you don't have peace, you are not in control over your thought life. You are in turmoil. It's controlling you. You're not controlling it. Peace is the one that stabilizes and gives you the victory. And I can pick and choose what I think. And I've begun to pray. As I pray with my thoughts, as I pray with my thoughts, I get stronger and stronger. But then this thing is a reality. You come in from a day full of work. You know, and as you come, and Pastor Wiggas says, come to the front. I say, Jesus, Pastor, I've had a whole day in the world. A whole day in the world. And the Holy Spirit says, relax, calm down. Just, I'm in control. Yeah, start thinking. And you start thinking on the word. Start thinking. You can pick and choose what you think. Brethren, even when we are relaxed at home, we shouldn't let our minds be going all over the place. Amen. We can decide, I want to think about this, I want to think about that. And then when you have thought, when you have chosen to meditate on the word of God, then begin to think about the problem. And you will see that, because you have put God first. You know, the Bible says, I've been in the way, and the Lord led me. So because I put myself in the way of God, then anything I think about, God will begin to lead me around by the help of the Holy Spirit. And you begin to see problems from a different perspective. And then you begin to shout while you are alone in your room, oh, Jesus! And you say, what happened? God just spoke to me. Hallelujah. God just spoke to me. And you come out stronger than the situation. That's what he's saying. Whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if it's worthy of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your mind on them. That's what God is saying. These are instructions. But you can't do it without the background of the power. And without the background of the word. That gives us control. And then we can begin to walk upon the water. We can begin to walk upon the water. You know, because now, I mean, Jesus was right there. And Apostle Peter did walk on the water. But the wind came and he took his eyes off. That's in the mind. Don't take your eyes off him. Put your mind on him. As I'm telling you, brethren, I'm telling myself, we must keep our minds. Bible says he will keep him in perfect peace. Isaiah 23 verse 3. Whose mind is stayed on him. Hallelujah. Amen. Give that scripture to us. Give it to me in the Message Bible. Isaiah 26 verse 3. Isaiah 26 verse 3. People with their minds set on you, you keep completely whole. Hallelujah. Steady on their feet because they keep at it and what? Don't quit. Hallelujah. Look at Revelation 22 from verse 1. Let's read it. Thank you, Holy Spirit. No. Go back to the King James. Thank you. All right. And he showed me a pure river of water of what? Life. That's what he's talking about. That's a river. Amen. That's the one that carries all the ingredients of the fruit of the Spirit, as we'll see. Clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. Next verse. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nation. Stop. That river was the river of life. Out of it came the fruit of the Spirit, and out of it came healing. What is in your life that needs healing? Is it your body that needs healing? Is it your heart that needs healing? There is healing in God's house. The river is flowing. The question is, how close are you to the river? Don't stay far from the river. Come to the river bank. Amen. Get into the river and drink. That's what God is saying. Amen. Next verse 3. And there shall be no more curse. It's a reversal. It may not be one day, but you will reverse everything. You will reverse what your mistakes have brought. You can reverse it. You can reverse it. There'll be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall. This river will bind you to God in an everlasting covenant. You know, the servants that are free after 7 years, after serving for 6 years, they can go for you. Then there's those that pierce their ear and say, I don't want to go, I'm pleased to dwell. He's talking about that. Bond servants, bond slaves to the Lord. That's what it is. It's that life. Bible says, like this in Deuteronomy, choose life, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God and obey his voice and cleave to him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about letting life flow. It's just letting life flow in your soul. Letting life flow in your body. Letting the word of God be there. Letting the power of the Holy Spirit be there. And keeping yourself in the word. And so that you can see things from a heavenly point of view at all times. That's what he's saying. Amen. And the Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. Let's read it. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. These situations come. That's what he's saying in Philippians. He says, you know, no matter what situation that comes, that God brings you into, sometimes God leads you into this place. The flock shall be cut off from, and there shall be no herd in the stores. Next verse. Yet. Everybody say yet. Say yet. I will what? Rejoice. It's a choice. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my. So I fight for my joy. I fight for my joy. I don't let things steal my joy. Don't let your children steal your joy. Hold on to your joy. Next verse. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet. He will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer upon the musical instruments. Amen. So how do we enjoy it? Well, Isaiah 40, 31. Amplified Bible. But those who wait for the Lord, let's read it together. Those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for, and hope in him, shall change and renew their what? Strength and power. They shall lift up their wings and mount up close to God. As eagles mount up to the sun, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired. This is available for those who wait upon the Lord. So what is the solution? We wait upon the Lord. But also, what does it mean? Because it puts in bracket, to expect, to look for, to hope in him. Those are three things. The three permanent personal attributes of God. Like Pastor put it, I had to, you know, review the weekly Rhema, hope, faith, and love. That's what he's talking about there. Who expects? Faith. Who look for? Love. And hope in him? Hope. Those who faith, hope, and love shall change and renew their strength. If you work on becoming like God by focusing on hope, faith, and love the way we have been taught, then you and I, by travail, by tongues, and by communion prayer, will keep changing strength. That's what he's talking about. What is hope? Hope is what God desires to give us, but is not yet manifest. Remember what Pastor shared with us some years ago? No, faith, hope, and love. Love is the greatest of them all, because love is the purpose and love is the motivation. The motivation for giving hope. So hope desires. The motivation for reaching out is love. So when God gives you a hope, gives us a hope, it's out of love. So love is the motivation. And at the same time, faith must work by love. The end of faith is to produce love. So love is the motivation. Love is the purpose. Love is the goal. So love is the greatest. Everything is coming out of love. So hope desires. Hope is God's desire for you and I. That's not yet manifest. So what God is saying is that look at Romans 8:24, because that's important. That hope saves us. Thank you. Thank you for giving me. For we are saved by hope. We must always have hope in every situation. Of course, we know that we have three levels of hope, isn't it? We have the hope of the resurrection. We have the hope, that's not in this life, at judgment seat of Christ. Okay. No, we have the hope of the resurrection. Then we have the hope of the perfection of the fullness of Christ that he has given us. And then we have the hope of things in this life. Now, the one to hold on to is the hope of perfection. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Let's look at it. It says, we are saved by hope. But what a man seeth, Why yet don't you yet hope for it? So it's something, you know, even as you get closer, the Bible says experience, you know, hope maketh not ashamed. No, patience works experience. Experience works patience. And patience works hope. Abi? And hope maketh not ashamed because of love of God. So hope is bringing us into the love of God. Love in you, in me, perfected. That's where God is taking us. So to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, which is love in you. Christ is love. Isn't God's God is love. Love in you is the hope of glory. No, when you allow that love to be fully perfected in you, then it gives us access to his glory. That hope of that glory must be shining before our eyes. We must not let it out of sight. Amen. That's the honey that will keep out or keep us out of the rock, so that we can ultimately see clearly to subdue our enemies. You always remember Jehoshaphat when they came against him. I'm reading that in our Bible reading the other day, you know, and the Ethiopians came. The Ethiopians were double. They were 1 million. Double what the people that he had. And he cried out to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord. And the Bible says the Lord came. He sent. He didn't have to enter. The Lord came down and dealt with that host. The Lord came. So he just cried out to God. You know, and he didn't look at what is the strategy? The first thing is God. That should be the first function of everything. God. God is the solution first. You know, sometimes when you have money in the bank, it can be a problem. Hello. You know, when you have money in the bank, when you don't have anything in the bank, it's easy to put your hope on God. Because there's nothing in the bank. But the key we must get to is that even when there's money in the bank, the first thing is God. Don't throw money at things. Let God loose on everything. Then the one God wants to use money, he will tell you. The one he wants to use favor, he will tell you. The one he wants to do by his own self, he will tell you. That's what God is saying. Hope. And it's that hope that purifies us. He that had this hope in himself purified himself, even as he is pure. So hope is very important. Because it's that hope is the anchor for your soul. When the thing comes, what does the anchor do? It keeps a ship rooted, fixed around a particular spot. Even when you move, you cannot move beyond a certain radius. The anchor sees to that. So it must be in place. That anchor must be in place. You may move. The ship is never really stationary, brethren. You know, there are always little waves that are coming in, just lapping around. So it's bobbing from, but it's around this. So whatever happens, you are in the holiest of all. You will not go out back to the holy place. And you will not go out back to the outer court in Jesus' name. And as you keep getting closer and closer, the rope to the anchor is shorter and shorter, so the movement is less and less until you become fixed. That's why the Bible says you become a pillar in the house of God. Fixed, not going left or right. It's a function of growth. But we must start and put that hope right front and center in front of our hearts. Amen. Look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Amen. Very important to see. Thank you. That by two mutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. What are the immutable things? The promise of eternal life in soul and body in abundance. And the second is the oath. We might have a strong consolation. That's what he's talking about. The consolation that he's talking about. When you suck the breath, you get consolation. That's what he's talking about. It's the consolation that comes from the revelation of the fact that, look, God is in on this thing. It can't change. That hope, that it will be people who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. So there is the peace flowing like a river, but when you put your hope, you put yourself in the path of the river. You put yourself in the right. So it's a positional thing. We must position ourselves by making sure that our hope is bright in front of our eyes. Amen? All right? Then the next one is faith. Faith creates. Can't forget it. Hope desires. Faith creates. Love gives. Faith creates. That's the word of fathers. Etched deep in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. What is faith? Seeing or perceiving as real fact invisible realities. So when things are not perceptible, like Paul said, but Paul told them, he said, brethren, he said, gentlemen, I perceive. I perceive that we are going to a time where this journey is going to be a bit of a difficult journey. And then in the middle of the journey, he said, an angel of God appeared to me and said that we are going to be okay. After there was no light for 2 weeks. Men had given up. They wanted to start their fast. He had finished his own. He wasn't operating on what he was seeing. That's covering. In season and out of season. But that was God. That's what God is telling us. We perceive things by the Spirit before they occur. And we begin to declare them so they come to pass. So we can look into Nigeria and we can say, yes, these enemies that we are seeing today, we are not going to see them anymore. We will stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. We are saying, we can say that before the pots can feel the thorns of Satan's power and his messengers, that God will take them away with the whirlwind. We are saying it before it happens, so it comes to pass. I'll do that on a global scale as a family. We also do it in our own personal lives. We begin to see what God is saying by the Spirit. Amen. We begin to see. Look at Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 11, verse 1. Give it to me in the Amplified. Hebrews 11, 1. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, or the conviction. Okay. Or the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. And this is the key, brethren. Faith is the next step. How do you walk in faith? Hebrews, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. For this commandment, which I commanded this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. Next verse. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest see who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it to us that we may hear it and do it. Next verse. Neither is it beyond the sea. Why is he saying this? He's saying, heaven, you can see. The sea, you can see. He's saying that this thing is not physical. That's what he's saying. It's very near you, but it's spiritual. And if you don't treat it as that and accept it as real fact, you won't enjoy it. That's what he's saying. Look at verse 13. Neither is it beyond the sea. No. Verse 13. Beyond this, that thou shouldest say, who shall go over to the sea to bring it for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. What's the verse 14? But the word is very, it's not nigh, is very nigh unto thee. Where? In thy mouth. See what I said? Open your mouth. And in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. So what we say, what we think, when we say, when we don't say, is important. So that we can let that river flow. That's what he's saying. Faith. Amen. Amen. Well, that's what he's saying. So the faith now creates what the hope saw as an expectation. Amen. And then love gives. He calls love here looking for. I can't forget what Papa Rao shared years ago, decades now. He He says, God is out looking for God. Love is always looking for. Love is always looking for. So the Bible says, as the eyes of the Lord run through and through, over the earth, looking for. He's looking for himself. But he's looking for. The prodigal son's father was looking. The Bible says he saw him afar off. He had already seen him in the place of prayer. He was looking for. Look at it. Let's look at that. Luke 15, 18 to 20. Looking for. He says, I will arise and go to my father. He's repenting. And will say unto my father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Now, when the devil tries to bring condemnation to us as we are growing and our infirmities get the better of us, God is encouraging you. Now, look at what happens. Next verse. And I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. I've disappointed you. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He's planning what he's going to tell his father. And he arose and came to his father. But look at what the Bible says. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Hallelujah. The love of a father. Loving father. God is out looking for you. I don't know what you're going through, but he's looking for you. He's looking out for you and I. For the easier way. For the better way. For the best outcome. As he's looking out for you and I. And he just needs you and I to be to look out just like he is looking out. So we can see each other and run to each other. Hallelujah. That's what God is doing. Look out. Look out. Communion in fellowship. Communion. As you commune with God, you're looking out for him. And you will find him. Don't just stay in the problem. Look for him. He's there. No matter how dark it is, he's there. He's not an irresponsible daddy. He puts you there. Someone that sent his only begotten son for you, he will now leave you there. When you are at your most unlovely, when I said, this is the one I want. And then he called you to himself. But he says, how much more? Be saved by his life. It's important to understand. It's a message of encouragement, brethren. To know that God, don't let our mistakes. There's that thing in our minds, that human thing that when somebody annoys you, just go away. God doesn't do that. When you annoy him, he brings you close. We are not God. Don't treat God and oversight with the same yardstick. Because they can correct you in one breath and next minute they encourage you in the next breath. That's love. They're looking out for your interest. Looking out for what is best for you. So I don't care, brother, what you're going through. It may look bad, but it has a good ending. Why? Because God is out looking for you. So you look out for him. Look out for him. Begin to look out for him. And that's what God is saying. Look out for him. So how do we do this? Indeed, we've said it in principle. Hope, faith, and love. Okay? We hope in him. We expect. That's why when you're praying good morning, just pray in the morning. Like mom says, expect. Pray with expectation. Expect. Expect. He's not going to come. He's now. He's coming now. We are fixing it in the ground now. And we fix it and fix it and fix it. It will appear. The way we fix it is the way it will appear. It's the way it is. Mary said, be it unto me according to your word. That's our faith. As he has said it, that's how it's going to be. That's how Nigeria is going to be. Oh yes, oh yes. Our sons will be as plants grown up in their youth. And our daughters as cornerstones polished after the similitude of the palace. Our young people will be so spiritual. We'll be operating in a place of rest. Stronger than us. And see what we are seeing and more. Hallelujah. And then our barns shall be filled with plenty. Amen. Our oxen shall be strong to labor. Because we have driven all the strange children away. No place for them in this new dispensation. Yes. And Bible says there will be no complaining. Can you imagine? In this Nigeria. There'll be a day when Igbos not complain against Yorubas. Eh? Yorubas don't complain against Steve, Nupe, Hausa. It's coming, brother. And we call it what it is, so it comes to pass. That's the will of God. That's the will of God for us. Amen. So as we pray with a fresh hope, daily, we should have it. That's why they give us daily Bible reading. They give us daily Rhema. It used to be weekly. Now it's daily. Do you go through it? If you're not going through it, you are allowing your hope that's supposed to anchor you. Eh? You are using a very long rope. That rope is so long, it's taking you to the outer court. You are even outside of the tabernacle because of the way the rope that you have been putting there. The more you go over it, the more you shorten the rope and you come closer. Come, then you attack. You pass by outer court, pass by a little bit, enter holiest of all. They give us daily Rhema. They give us daily Bible reading. Brethren, it's so we can stay close and be drinking from peace in that place perpetually. All right. So that was that, and listening to apostolic and prophetic teaching of our fathers. As we do that. I know that hope is there. Then we labor diligently, praying with tongues, as we have been taught, once every 6 hours, you know, praying with travail, and then with hearts full of life. You know, so we do that with hearts full of life. It's important to understand that life of God is at the back of all this. I always say there was a river of the water of life, clear as crystal. No ambiguity in the river. That's why John says, we know. It's clear. We know because of the certainty of the words of life. It says they are certain. So that life must be there in sufficient measure as we pray in tongues, as we pray with travail, so that when that power has flowed out of our hearts, you know, we keep our hearts diligently in reverence towards God, reverence toward authority, meekness towards those above. Don't the Bible says that in Acts 24:16, it says that I exercise myself. This practice now, I examine. Herein do I examine to always have a conscience void of offense toward God and man, so that your heart is open to drink. Don't let our heart be closed, though. You know, if something is closed and you put it inside the midst of water, it will be dry. The inside will be dry because it's closed. So we should not be in the midst of the river of life and our hearts are closed in offense because of what somebody did. Or because of what something we think that God should have done and did not do. But then that mindset, so whose fault is this? I must confess, it disturbs me. You know, because when you're analytical, so whose fault? Because you're always trying to look for somebody to blame. God said, there's nobody to blame. It's just the devil to blame. Hey, but the devil, he's the guilty one. He's the guilty one. Don't look for another human being to blame. It's him or you. It's him always, and then you sometimes. Agree with him. So, forgive yourself. Release yourself. Don't take yourself to sin. Don't over spiritualize things. We make mistakes. Just forgive yourself and let's start afresh. Amen. The earlier we start afresh, the further we go. Rather than looking for who did what. Let's move on. That's what he's saying. Then when that heart is pure, that power is flowing, and that hope is in place, brethren, the rest is just looking for him in our thoughts. And you find that God is there, right there. It will surprise you how quick he will respond. In your heart, in situations like that. And when you can just laugh and say, God. Ah! You know? And you can see God operating in your life, see operating in circumstances, then things are not so, you know, then life is worth living. You know, my life is worth the living just because he, you know, because you can understand, because every moment God is there. Everything is working for our advantage. He's causing all things to work together
for our good. Why? Because we love him and we are called according to the hope, the purpose that he set for us. So if we put those things in place, brethren, we're on the winning side. We've always been, but we now live like it is. We live it as an experience and enter into the fulfillment of his promises. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's just thank you, Lord. I'm so grateful. Thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for our fathers and the covenant. Let's talk to God. Remember, the hope, the faith, the love. The hope, Bible reading. Weekly listening to apostolic and prophetic teaching. The faith, opening our mouth to receive life. And to release it in confession. To release it in tongues as we run. To release it in travail. Doing good morning Jesus prayers. And when we pray in travail on our own, flying in the realm of the Spirit. The Bible says, you will not be weary. You will not be weary. You will walk, you will not faint. So the hope must be in place. The faith must be in place. And then the love. You now begin to look for it in your thoughts. So you think now, Lord, thank you for mercy, to walk in love, to walk in your fear. Pray in the Spirit. And begin to think on the scriptures. Think on him. The scriptures in that situation, think on it. That's why you need to read your Bible. So you need to know what scripture applies to which situation. And if you don't, go to your Bible and check. Check the concordance. Type it into Google. Google knows the Bible. It knows the Bible. It will give you the scripture. And then type in front of it, amplified. It will give you. And meditate. Meditate. As we pray, as we read, as we study, as we meditate, and begin to practice, exercise our hearts in love. Even when you don't feel like it, you're keeping yourself close to the river. And you are shutting the carnal mind and the carnal flesh, you're shutting them up. And after a while, their voice you will not hear again. Peace like a river. Love like a mountain, Lord, love. that river is flowing. God says, open your heart, open your mouth, drink. Drink, drink. Drink. Healing streams of life, they are flowing. Drink. There is balm in Gilead. Mango shenge de vibedikana. Rapapa kosoto zenke kosha. Rengele. Just let God touch you. Let God love you all over. Mingo satika. Robobobo koseba. Shenge de ma. Let's raise up our right hand in faith. Pray and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love, your great love, and has brought me into your presence. I refuse to allow anything to separate me from your love. Thank you for your peace flowing like a river of life, your joy in that river. Your righteousness is in that river. And so I allow that river to flow into my heart, into my life, into my home, into my community, into my workplace, into my nation. In the name of Jesus, use me as an instrument to allow more of your peace, more of your joy, more of your righteousness to be evident in my soul, in my members, in my home, and in my community. And everywhere I go, because that river is in me and flowing through me, let me be an avenue for you to touch those around me and those that are far from me in my nation and the nations of the world. Father, have mercy on me. Help me to live by faith, fixed on your hope. Walking in your love, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in the spirit. Rapa kosakande katand, jenge de bebedi kapapa, ropo bobo bobo kote mesanta, enge de bebeda, ropa ba, jenge no bo, makopa de kato makaso petai, elevo kotuta kokea, robo, meke no ba, dide di du 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 da, oh, bene de benina, ropa bobo sa, bengarate, kandemos, mongarabasa, jeffrey ke kulurama. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you have need of healing, the power of God is here. That river. Just let it to us. Lord, I receive my healing. The Bible says that when the power of God was present to heal under the covering of our fathers. So let's tap into it. Receive it by faith. It's by faith. Faith creates. Faith creates. As reality, invisible things. Hold on to it by faith. And keep saying it. And keep saying it. And God will make it good.